Good morning. It's good to be here with all of you. I'm sure you feel the same way. For just a moment, then let's all stand and say hello to your neighbor, your friend beside you. Show a little thanksgiving. You might want to laugh a little. Wow, it's like getting out of class early in school, isn't it? It's like you're getting away with something. I know why it works so well. All right, you can sit down and zip it. I'm just kidding about the zipping it part. We're not done. Now you guys all know why college students, when their professor doesn't show up, they're like, yeah, I'm out of here. You get a freebie. So thanks for the encouragement. It's fun to listen to you all. Let's pray together. Father, the sound of friendship and family, relationship, joy, the sound of your spirit among us is so powerful. And thank you for the hearts here that love one another so well and want to love us, love one another so much more. Thank you for that commonness that we all share. And we know it's from you, Lord. And today, as we've been blessed to sing to you, now we have opportunity to look into your word and pray that you would lead us and feed us, that you would encourage us and serve us and equip us, Lord, to do the same with your strength and power to the world. We love you and we praise you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning, come let us sing with joy to the Lord, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God. We should probably yell that, you know. The great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. He claims them all. The sea is his. He made it. And his hands formed the dry land. How powerful. What an amazing reminder to all of us that God is, that he is in control, and he owns it all. The scripture that we want to focus on this morning is Luke chapter 17. With Thanksgiving being a few days away, I'll go ahead and trip this so you won't figure out what I'm trying to do with all this Thanksgiving stuff. We're thinking about being thankful, okay? So now that I let you in on that, you won't be working to try to figure out where in the world I'm going. You just try to figure out, is he ever going to get there? It'll be much easier for you. Only one task, not two, okay? Luke 17, 11 through 19. This scripture is powerful. And just find yourself here. Enjoy the scripture as it just washes over you this morning. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And if you can imagine him walking through this place, he's walking between the two here. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked him, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Interesting story. A powerful story. If you can see Jesus going along between Samaria and Galilee and doing what Jesus does, he's teaching, he's loving, he's healing, he's with his friends, there's a community spending time together, and there are great things taking place as hearts are being changed and people are being moved, and it's the perfect place for lepers, a leper colony, because it's in between two. They were the outcasts, if you will, the marginalized, those who were just forgotten about, hopefully not to be seen by normal folks, if you will. Leprosy was a terrible disease. It was, and in places where it still inflicts people, it's still a very dreaded disease. But the worst kind of leprosy follows these kind of patterns. Listen to this. First, a patch of skin is discolored. It might occur on the brow or ears, nose, or cheek. And then second, the patch turns white or pink and begins to spread rapidly in all directions. Then the disease spreads to various internal organs. The eyebrows may disappear and spongy tumors develop all over your body. Then the nerve endings of the body are destroyed. And this is the most critical and dangerous stage. The afflicted person then begins to lose the ability to feel, and taking it to worse places in poor countries. And in this time, rats and other rodents would gnaw parts of the body off, and then the fingers would draw up, and then you just had a very hideous creature. That's what you would see. It was a soul that Jesus loved and loves, and it was somebody's husband or wife or dad or mom or son or daughter, but that's not what you saw. It was a hideous, horrible disease, and the stories are worse than that of all that take place with this. And so in Scripture, if someone had leprosy, it was very contagious, and so they had to go outside and live. And they would form communities so that they would have people to lean on. How important community is. But they would have to stay at a distance, and if anyone got near, they would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean." I mean, it's bad enough, right? Except for that now I have to tell you, and in all of this, not that humiliation isn't humiliation enough, but now it is really humiliating and heartbreaking and crushing. And these are the men that met Jesus on the way. The good scenario here, the best case scenario, that it was that leprosy didn't actually kill you. It only took like 20 to 30 years to clear up. Or that was the stories. 20 to 30 years, and then possibly it may go away. And so, just like a prison sentence, after a while, you might be able to be back in community and be among your friends and family after the kids were grown, and maybe your wife had passed away by then, but you're well now. It's a bad place. So if you can imagine these men at a distance calling out to Jesus, I wonder what they were thinking. I mean, we really know what they were thinking, right? They'd heard rumors. They'd heard stories of this man, this Jesus, who, like us, we've heard the stories, could take away the stain, take away the problem, take away the brokenness. They could heal the disease in them. He could fix what was messed up. But probably pretty confident that he would never show up, I'm guessing, in the years previous in their lives, because nobody showed up in this place. Samaria was always avoided, and so why be walking here? And here comes Jesus one day. He shows up, like he always shows up. Jesus shows up in their world. He shows up in the mess and the struggle and the lostness and the brokenness. And they cry out to him, "Jesus." And the Scripture says that as they stood back, because they wouldn't just necessarily press on, that he comes close and he says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Interesting thought in this, okay? As Jesus is pressing these men, "Go show yourselves to the priests." You went to the priest because you were wanting to prove that you were well, or as someone to verify that your disease was gone. And so Jesus was calling them to act on what they were hoping for. You want to be clean? Go. Go show yourselves to the priest. And says, as they were going, they were healed. Interesting thought for all of us, right? When we're asking Jesus and we're pressed to want Jesus to do something for us while we sit back in our doubt and our struggle. He says, go live like you're well. Go take on this life of wellness. Go, and they were cleansed. But Jesus, along the way, these men and their struggle and their heartache and their heartbreak, he shows up and he heals them. And the scripture says that as they were healed, that one man, he saw what had happened to him. And he turned and he came back to Jesus. And it's written here that it says he praised God in a loud voice. He's kind of making a spectacle of himself, if you will. A bit undignified, a little awkward, maybe uncomfortable for some. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. Thank you, and on his knees at Jesus' feet, and then he's pressing the thanksgiving. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Obviously, a good question, right? Go your way, show yourselves to the priest, you'll be well. When they find out they're well, one turns and comes back and thanks Jesus. The other 9, were not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this outsider? The nobody, the dogs, if you follow scripture, the outcasts, half-breeds. He's the only one that came back. And then he said, rise and go. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. So interesting thought about a man who would return and say thanks to Jesus. We have these 9 men. The story is pressing that they are Jews because one returned and he was a Samaritan. And as all 9 stormed off in their, well, the 9 stormed off in their newness of life and their healing, one comes back and he falls at Jesus' feet. And we're pressed to just think about him for a minute. Why? Why would you return and give thanks to Jesus? Well, we know why, right? He was dead and he's alive again. He was completely lost and he's found. He was outside, now he's in. He was not connected with his family. He was completely outside of everything, right? And now his life is made whole again by Jesus. And the natural response of a heart that is thankful and appreciative is thanksgiving. The natural heart that has been moved to a place that it could have never been on its own is thanksgiving. And so the Samaritan, knowing Jesus had done something wonderful for him, returned and did the natural thing. He said, thank you. Thank you very much. A whole lot more excitedly than that. But what of the 9? What about the 9 that didn't come back? We could go on and on about this one, right? We are the ultimate lack of appreciators. We are those who are so distracted by life. What's the line? We were born on 3rd and we think we hit a triple, right? So we're not good at saying thank you. We're certainly not good at expressing it. It is gracious and it's good manners, proper etiquette to say thanks. So we say thanks. But this doesn't live Thanksgiving so well. It's your Western world, or your Westernized curse. It's your new world distraction. You've been raised to think that you deserve everything, and I do too. And so it's so difficult to allow God to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving in me. And so to be fair to them, I just made a little list here of maybe why they didn't express thanksgiving to Jesus. And most of these are a great reflection into me, and maybe you can think of a few yourself. Maybe they were already getting well along the way, they thought. And this was just circumstantial. It just happened to Jesus right in the right time as I was being healed of my leprosy, said, "Be well, go show yourselves to the priest." And along the way, the healing took place. I know there were nine of us, but we did have a drink from that one girl's cup, or we were all together under that one tree when the sun hit. Just, you understand, we can make up so many things to discredit the power of God in the world today. Or maybe they thought that they deserved to be healed. Everyone else is getting healed, and I'm getting mine. It's my turn. My turn to be well. After all, everything I see and know, TV, radio, and everywhere else tells me that I deserve this, and I'm getting it now. Or maybe they gave themselves credit for being so resourceful as to get themselves to Jesus so he could heal them. Well, I mean, if I hadn't positioned myself just right when he came through, we're really good at taking credit. Or maybe they were afraid that one of the other former lepers would beat them to the restaurant after church. I think I said leopards. I meant lepers. It's not the same thing. They may have wanted to just get home to their families. After all, it's been a long time, right? Maybe they just wanted to get home to their families. Then they forgot who provided family for them in the first place. Maybe they wanted to tell everybody what had just happened. And in their excitement to tell, they forgot to pause and look and remember. Maybe they thought they would get around to it sometime. They'll come back around, I mean, later this evening or tomorrow morning. And it's very possible that never, ever crossed their minds to say thank you. It never did, maybe. I made a few other thoughts here just a bit ago, if my phone will cooperate. This time of year, this is pretty prevalent. Maybe there was a sale at Kohl's. I mean, Black Friday's coming up, right? Teens, maybe he or she wanted to get to the hot girl or boy that they'd been missing hanging out with. College students, well, now I can get registered for my classes. I'm well again. Or I can go home and see my parents. They probably don't even know that I have leprosy. It's been so long since I've been home. And then just a couple of thoughts. I also was thinking about what Twitter and Facebook would look like for these people. What do you think Twitter and Facebook would look like for these people? That time when Jesus healed me of leprosy, boom. You know, I don't know. I had leprosy, Facebook, I could see this, and I had leprosy and I was feeling so bad. Everything's just been going wrong. Everything's a mess in my world. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where is Jesus when I need him? Next status update, Jesus healed me. Next status update, one of the moles is gone from my face. Next status update, my little daughter came and said, "I'm looking prettier already." Next status update, and next status update, and next status update, and next status update. I went to the restroom a while ago. Next status update, Twitter and Facebook. Wow. So useful. So useful for the kingdom. If we use them for the kingdom. And here is a great moment for something to be used for the kingdom. And one comes back and says thanks. And the other nine just go their way. No second thought. There's no record of them telling any part of the story anywhere, anytime. Doesn't mean they didn't, but there is no record. There's one man whose status update would be, "Jesus healed me, and all I could do is hit my knees. Jesus blessed me, and all I could do is say thanks." Well, there's several scripture that press us. There's a lot of places that Jesus or Paul, Jesus through Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, presses us about thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, scripture says, as he's talking to the Thessalonians here, he's pressing them about their hearts, and he says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks." And that's difficult for us because we isolate events so much that we only know that right now my life's good and now my life's a mess. Not my wife, my life. Don't tell her about that, man. She's teaching children's church. You can make a mess of that one for me. Now my life is a mess. Wow. He's no Mark. So the press from Paul is he's talking about a heart of thanksgiving. I don't get caught up in the individual little struggles I go through and so get lost. It's a big picture life I live. It's a life of seeing that God is doing something in me and through me, and whatever this event is or whatever this small struggle or whatever, there is an end to it, either here or eternity, one or the other. You're not staying in this struggle, okay? And so in everything I can be thankful because he can teach me something, he can show me something, he can lead me through, and that's really easy to say when you're blessed and healthy in life. It's a whole other story when your life's struggling along. Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 17, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Listen to the scripture. If it doesn't just really press us about a thankful heart and life, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm reading it and taking it in. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanksgiving. Gratitude. It's a heart condition. It's not simply a platitude or a kind word or social etiquette. It's really what I've been called to live out or live into. Thankfulness is a sign of a changed life. It is a mark of a mature Christian, even in simple things, that we should be thankful. I don't know who's responsible for that quote. In Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That's not simply a one-liner or a cool thought. His goodness and his love is why you are going to be in heaven one day. His goodness and his love is what allows you to be his child. His goodness and his love is what sealed you with the Holy Spirit to help you and lead you and bless you and guide you. His goodness and his love is why you have a wife or a daughter or children or friends or any kind of relationship. Everything good that you have in your life is because of God's goodness and love. So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Gratitude is the highest duty of the believer, and it is the thankful heart that opens the door for all blessings to flow. Gratitude is the highest duty of the believer, and it is a thankful heart that opens the door for all other blessings to flow. Bitterness, cynicism, whining, complaining, an overall lack of appreciation for all that God has done for us and is doing is the main cause of the lack of faith and confidence in God that we so often struggle with. And it keeps the door of all the blessings of God from being able to flow. It keeps it closed and the blessings don't flow in our lives. That's wordy, I know. One more time. Bitterness, cynicism, whining, complaining, and the overall lack of appreciation for all that God has done for us is the one cause for the lack of faith and confidence in God and also keeps the door of the blessings God would send our way closed. And so with all of this in mind, these thoughts about thankfulness and the lack of, with the 10 lepers fresh in our mind, the 9 who really struggled with appreciation and seeing what God had done for them, and the 1 who returned, I thought, so often I'm that guy. So often I'm the one who not that guy, I'm one of those guys, the 9, the one that doesn't return. I don't see what I need to be thankful for, and so I made a top 10 list for us today. It's a little skewed because, I mean, when you really list your blessings in Jesus, how would you know what order to place them in? I mean, I know some of you could do that very well. You're organized and very good at that stuff, but I'm just kind of everywhere in my personality, okay? So I had a little difficulty putting them in a good order, but let's go with them anyway. The top 10 list, first one, the 5 senses. How powerful is this? How thankful are you that you can see and that you can hear and that you can smell and that you can taste and that you can touch? I mean, all of them are powerful, right? But how thankful are you? How amazing is it that when God made our bodies, He gave us these 5 senses, so taken for granted and such a struggle in life? The next one, each ability and talent, to the next slide, thank you. The abilities and talents that you have. How about our thanksgiving for that? The ability to do your job or your specific personality traits, the gifts that you have. Maybe you're an athlete. Maybe, as I said before, an organizer, very, very gifted, a teacher, a doctor, whatever the case would be, a secretary, gifts and talents. There's something in us that so often just has checked out in realizing that everything that I am and that I have is a gift from God, whatever the case would be. And my talents and abilities are also a gift from Him. And I should really press to see the things that He has gifted me with, because those are useful in the family of God. Encouraging, giving. You understand. The next one. How about friendship? I mean, really, look around. Think about people. People that you love so much. People that your life is dependent on having in your world. The person you call when everything's falling apart. The person you can't wait to talk to when something's really great. It's a sunset. It's a sunrise. Ermaline made another wonderful flower display. Whatever the case would be. But when something's neat or something's a struggle, when you need help or when you're just chilling, what about your friends? I mean, those you love dearly. Sometimes you just hang on to them forever, and sometimes you could just talk about nothing. Friendship's amazing. So taken for granted. We let so many little things get in the way of it, and it's such a gift from God. How about forgiveness? I mean, it's incredible to set in the forgiveness of God. But in order to understand forgiveness, you have to understand where you've been. You have to be able to admit that that's who I am, that's my struggle, that's my life, that's me. Because Jesus already knows it. Jesus knew the inadequacies of all of us. He knew the times you're going to fall. He knew the times you're going to wilt. He knew the times you're going to run. He knew the times you're going to taste or touch or whatever should not have ever happened. And His forgiveness is complete, and it's powerful, and it's so peaceful and healing. And then the forgiveness of one another, right? I mean, we've all walked in those times when we have hurt or wounded or offended, or someone has done that to us, and forgiveness should be and thankfully is a part of all of that, right? I mean, forgiveness is so deep and so powerful and so mighty, so healing. There's such a completeness in dealing with forgiveness. How about the church? The family that God knew we needed. The family that God, when you became a child of His, put you in naturally. He made you a part of it because it was part of His plan. And He made you brothers and sisters with people so weird and odd and strange and family, right? Some of them become great friends. Some of them are family, and that's okay. We don't all click in every way together, but we honor and we love and we respect one another. And God uses us to challenge and fire one another up toward love and good works, to look forward to eternity, and to be excited and thrilled about it. How about the church family? And how about the ways, if you need a press for being thankful for all of these things, how about the way that Satan has so tried to divide it? We often would say things like, man, when you see Satan attacking something, it's something that must be really good. And does he not attack the church always? He attacks us with our faith. He attacks us with our focus. He attacks us with our relationships with one another. Got us all suffering with cynicism. We're cynical and we really wrestle at times. But we're family. And it's an incredible blessing. And how about that as we say family? How about family? How about a mom and a dad? Son and daughter, husband, wife, grandma, grandpa, stories handed down, traditions lived out. How about family? Always being accepted, always being loved, though they wrestle and though we struggle and though every family's not perfect. And I know in some stories, it's not the perfect situation. But he and you can fix that. And family is such a powerful gift from God. How about prayer? How about being thankful for prayer? Friday at 6 to Saturday till yesterday at 6 p.m., we had a 24 hours of prayer, 24-hour prayer vigil. And several of the folks here, several of you participated. And you're blessed for it. And Sunshine is blessed for it. And we appreciate you filling in and doing the work of praying to God. But how about prayer? The ability to communicate with one another is what builds friendships and relationships. And though you may not always be talking, you're chilling or hanging out. If you know Ira Carell, he's one of my dearest. Sometimes I could hang out with him for a week and he probably wouldn't say six words, except for, did you really do that, Jamie? and then he would laugh at me. But a few words, wonderful heart. Communication, right? The talking, the sharing of feelings. It's where love is built. We share dreams. We share stories. We share hope. We share how we feel about one another. And in that, we grow. And when we share with God in those ways, when we tell him our story, the story he already knows, and we share our struggles and our heartaches and our issues, and we thank him and we press in that relationship with him, what a blessing. Everyone who went through the 24 hours of prayer, everyone was asked to pray for an hour. And everybody I've talked to said an hour wasn't enough. And it was an amazing, amazingly blessed time. How about the Word of God, the Bible? We got to press on here. The Bible, the Word of God. That you can look in the Scripture and it says it's God breathed. He breathed it himself. You have a letter, a love letter from God telling you how he feels, what he's done, the great extent that he's gone through to get you to a place with him that he could get you home one day. The efforts, the hopes, the encouragement, he reveals himself in it. And you can know God. You can know him. Because he's talking to you as well. And how about Jesus, the Son of God? Number one, I got this one right, right? I mean, really? Maybe the other nine are all in a big mess of an order, but number one's correct. Jesus on the cross for our sins. Jesus born into the world when he could have stayed in heaven. Jesus coming down and teaching us and showing us how to live. You can look in Scripture and know how to treat your brother watching Jesus. You can look in the Scripture and you know how to treat the poor and the homeless and the widow, the orphan. You know how to treat everybody because of watching Jesus. Because Jesus is God in human form. And when you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But there's so many more. How about the Spirit of God in us? That when Jesus left, he sent the Spirit. And when you're baptized into him, Acts 2 says you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How about thanksgiving for the Spirit of God? Or how about health and jobs, hope, education, freedom, smiles, sunrises and sunsets? How about the blessing of serving somebody, of flowers and trees in the spring, summer, fall, winter? They're all beautiful. How about animals, the duck-billed platypus, the awkward zebra? I mean, all of the things that are so beautiful. And how about peace? There was a press from one class in Chicago, a junior high class. The teacher asked them to come up with the following seven items. What are the seven wonders of the world? And they knew pretty much what the seven wonders of the world were, but she wanted to know what they felt the seven wonders of the world were, and they were giving questions or answers like Egypt's Great Pyramids, as you would expect, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, of course, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and the Great Wall of China. I mean, these are answers you expect, and they're getting votes. I mean, which is going to be the most popular? And along the way, the teacher noticed that one little girl in the class hadn't turned in her paper yet. And she said, are you finished? And she said, well, I'm just finishing up. I'm just struggling a bit. What are you struggling with? And she said, well, here's what I think the seven wonders are. To touch, to taste, to see, to hear, to feel, to laugh, and to love. We have so much to be thankful for, right? It's wondrous what God has done for us. It's wondrous what God has done in us. It's amazing to think of all. A top 10 list doesn't touch it. There's so many things to be thankful for. John 1:3, how about this? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And with an exclamation point to finish, he says, and that is what we are. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. How exciting. How powerful. And then one more scripture, Psalm 95. Let's sing it together. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Heart is a happy heart. Veggie tells, I'm glad for what I have. That's an easy place to start. There's going to be an elder on either side of the auditorium this morning as we enjoy this time of invitation. And if you are struggling in any way, I'm sure it starts with the attitude of thanksgiving. I'm sure it starts with the heart of thanksgiving. It's the beginning of every struggle in our lives. Being able to look beyond myself and see that God is all in all, that he has done something for me. When I'm not there, I'm serving me and then the beginning. So if you're struggling in any way, one of these men would love to encourage you and serve you in prayer and be thankful for you, and you'll be thankful when you leave. Or if you're not a son or daughter of God, I'm telling you, the angels in heaven we'll be rejoicing if you give your life to him today. So whatever you desire, why don't you come?